serving the family for generations.
WABF, good morning. It is 8:21, 44 degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jimmy Conyers into the studio. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me this morning.
Appreciate you being here the week of Arts and Crafts Festival.
I know, and it looks like it's going to be a great week, doesn't it?
It does. Friday might be a little iffy with some rain, but Saturday and Sunday, absolutely perfect as we welcome, we were just talking off air, the 70th annual.
Man, what a great tradition.
In addition to the outdoor arts and crafts show with the Eastern Shore Arts Center, a lot of folks don't realize there's two shows. They just merge together, you know.
Well, always love that. Always look forward to that time of year.
We have a Fairhope City Council meeting tonight at 6 with a work session at 4:30. I know sometimes on the work session, it may be the first time you as council members have heard what's going to be discussed on some items, but you are familiar with number 3, the review and discussion of the working waterfront engineering plans.
It has been a long time project, and it's been revised multiple times, and this is Goodwin Mills, Kaywood, and the rest of the working waterfront steering committee bringing their proposal to the council to go over the details.
The final one, after more input was taken, and you're not going to remove the Rose Garden.
Exactly. We've got a lot of citizen input and a lot of council input, and this is the revised plan. Doesn't mean that there won't be additional tweaks and adjustments, but this should be the plan moving forward.
After they present it in the work session, then it will be presented at a council meeting?
Yes, ma'am.
Can it be walked on or added to tonight's agenda?
Oh, I don't think we would do that on something this important.
Okay.
You know, the council could do something like that, but I don't think we would on this.
Okay. There's also the revision of the right-of-way ordinance, which you said yourself you'll learn about that tonight.
I'll learn a little more about that one tonight.
Okay. On the meeting agenda itself, it's a pretty short one, comparatively speaking.
We had sort of an off schedule. You know, the council, Councilman Burrell, Councilman Martin, and Mayor Sherry Sullivan, and I, the four of us, went to Washington, D.C. for a trip, you know, some lobbying opportunities. And because of that trip, we had to reschedule. We had our last meeting was the Friday before last, so we've only had about a week in between meetings rather than the normal two.
Well, tell us about the Washington trip. What do you, who'd you meet with? What are you lobbying for?
Well, we try to go once a year for and pair it up with a different meeting. We went with Electric Cities of Alabama, American Public Power Association, and the actual meetings we met with Senator Shelby's office, Senator Tuberville and his office, Congressman Carl, and then had other debriefings with them as well as with other congressmen from the state of Alabama. And it's really just an opportunity for us to go on behalf of the city, thank them for their service, but also tell them of the different projects and things that are happening in the city of Fairhope that we would maybe like some help with some federal money. K1 Center was a project that we certainly mentioned. We would love to have a grant that we're working on that we would love to see to fruition, and you know, Fairhope's in a unique position where we're fairly well off financially compared to a lot of the cities that they represent, so we have to be understanding of that, and still at the same time we want to get our share of money and opportunities. So
right,
just laying out a case for that.
Any talk about the I-10 Bayway Bridge?
That was a topic of conversation. Just that, you know, the city supports the bridge as long as we're keeping the traditional options toll free, and then a toll for the new route, and we would support that. So, Councilman Burrell has been working hard on that as head of the MPO. So
yes. And the Fairhope and many other municipalities, a lot of projects are possible through some federal grants. Some are state, but some are federal as well.
Exactly. And we have a lot going on right now, as you know, in Fairhope. And of course, always asking for any help with the ARPA money that funds all the different infrastructure projects we're working on right now, so we're just trying to get in line to get what we can get on that.
Absolutely. Okay. Moving on to tonight's agenda, the first item after public participation, the mayor's report and council comments, is an ordinance to declare the City of Fairhope Writer's Cottage not needed and could be leased for other purposes. This is a cute little cottage on the side of and kind of behind and beside the Fairhope Public Library. Folks are looking to lease this?
Well, this is really just to kind of clean up and renew the lease that we have in place right now. So we have the City of Fairhope owns the property, but we allow the Fairhope Center for the Writing Arts to use it.
And I see.
So basically, that lease had expired. We just need to renew that lease with them.
Same purpose.
Same purpose. Nothing's changed on that. I had the same exact question when I first saw this on the agenda. I said, wait a second.
And what they do is they actually host, I presume, for free, a writer to come stay in the cottage and immerse themselves in the artistic experience.
Exactly what they do with it. And you know, Fairhope's had a lot of, has had and still has a lot of amazing authors that have lived here over the years. And I think this is just a way of keeping that part of the community.
A 5-year lease with an option to renew for an additional 5 years. What's the lease amount?
I don't know the specifics, and I'm not sure if it's much. It might be in a nominal amount just to make it a formal issue. But yeah, I don't believe there's a substantial.
You might have a lot of folks claiming to be writers looking to lease that. Yeah. You seen rent prices lately? But that's
that goes
through the Fairhope Center for the Writing Arts Incorporated, I presume a nonprofit.
Yes.
Okay. Item number 6 is another declaration of property not needed for municipal or public purposes. The City of Fairhope a concession stand at the Blast Soccer Club on County Road 13. What are we talking about here?
Blast is a group that has been running a soccer program out at the City of Fairhope. The City of Fairhope is not actually at this time running a rec league. Blast is running a rec league, and
so they're going to lease the concession.
They're going to lease the concession stand to kind of coincide with tournaments that they're hosting, as well as operation of a recreational soccer league.
Okay. Agenda items number 7 and 8 both revolve around receiving no bids for a project. This is starting to be a problem. No bids for Nick Center commercial glass replacement, as well as retrofitting and remodeling the Pecan Building roofing. Is that what that is? HVAC and more. No bids.
Yeah, it is becoming a bit of an issue, and I talked with Public Works Director the other day about this, and he indicated that this is becoming more and more common. They're really out there trying to solicit bids, trying to get people to participate. But I think that the common theme, and you know, if you're an individual and you're doing this on a personal level, trying to get a contractor to come do work on your house, you know how hard it is to find people right now. Everyone seems to be covered up. They can't find staff or supplies, and it's just an ongoing issue right now. But
the bid process itself can be costly. Just to prepare everything to spec that a bid requires, very complicated and very costly. Do you see maybe that bid process changing to more of a generality so that more people may have an opportunity to do the job?
I don't know about that. I'm certainly in favor of trying to find ways to make things more efficient, but there's certain items and requirements that I don't see us being able to get away from in the bid process. And we want to do things the right way. We'd certainly love more bids. It would be great to have 3 or 4 bids every time you put something out.
We used to it one time.
We did, and I'm sure those days are around the corner eventually as well. But right now, that's just not the That's not the norm.
And you brought up a point I was going to ask. With the bid law, you can't change some things. Is that a statewide?
Yeah, there are certain things that are just statewide law that they're requirements.
I see. We're purchasing a couple of vehicles, a Ford F-150 4x2 for the building department, a Caterpillar for the public works department.
Yeah, these are budgeted items. Mm-hmm. So just, again, the way we function in Fairhope, they are budgeted. Whether or not they come in below or above budget, they still have to come back before the council for approval.
And number 13, a very large number caught my eye for the Fairhope Electric Substation and Distribution Circuitry Project, but you're just looking at an addendum, an additional cost of $20,000.
Correct. That's the only increase. And this is a massive project all in all. I mean, the total upgrade of the electrical substations that we've been working on, I think, was in excess of $10 million. So it's been a pretty expensive and extensive project. So this is really just the $20,000 increase.
Okay.
That one line item.
Okay. I saw online from James at Fairhope Times that the city may be acquiring a little more property that goes along with the Dias Triangle, a house and 1.76 acres that apparently wasn't included originally because the Dias family lived there.
Exactly. So there was a nonprofit group, the Triangle Conservancy Group, that acquired that house and additional acreage from the Dias family. And basically, they would like to give that to the city, and they've even raised additional funds to help with our needs for building out, you know, trails and whatever we decide to do with that house. And the negotiations right now are kind of centered around the timing, the time frame, how long it'll take us to get this to move forward. What would be the use of the house? Because, you know, if we do take that. And I think, in my opinion, the city, you know, when you're being offered a gift that generous, we certainly want to accept it, but we also have to plan and discuss, well, this is, it may be a free gift, but there will be ongoing expenses to maintain the house, and we just need to have a plan for what we're going to do there, what we're going to use it for. But it could become a nature center or you know, sort of a nature meeting space. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of different options of what we could do with that.
Classroom facilities for nature.
Exactly. Okay. But it's a wonderful project, and it's a wonderful group that, and very generous of them to spend resources to try to make the city of Fairhope a better place to live.
I know you have been out sick some. You had the COVID experience.
Yes, I'm late to the party.
And the brain fog that goes with it.
Yeah, so that is true.
I'm going to go easy on
you
and save some of my questions for Mayor Sherry Sullivan, such as the comprehensive plan meeting last week, unveiling some of the plans. And I know the mayor was a guest on Elodia Arnold's radio show here Friday, and she talked about it, and she'll be here again tomorrow.
She'll have all kind of insight.
And also something that I have seen a bit on social media, and then I've experienced myself when I opened my Fairhope Utilities bill, was somewhat of a sticker shock at what appears to be increases in gas. And the city, back in a couple of weeks ago, put, due to yearly industry-wide rate increases, gas customers of Fairhope Utilities, along with other systems in the region, are experiencing higher than normal gas rates. The fluctuations are directly related to the season. It happens each year and are expected to decrease in the spring. Have you noticed anything on your bill?
My bill always seems high, Lori. I've got two daughters, and you know, it just seems like it's always high.
Right.
So
right.
I hadn't noticed anything above normal, but sometimes I try not to think about it.
Right. How don't the rates work in which a rate is set for each service, and then the council has to vote to increase those rates, which actually was done, and we had some increases near the end of the year last year.
We have had some increases, and I'll have to check on this. I don't know if there's some variability among maybe a portion of that gas rates based on a pass-through. If our if our pricing goes up, do we have some built-in parameters that would pass that cost along to the customer? That may be what that relates to. So
okay.
I'll have to check on that.
All right. Well, yeah, if you'd look into that, we'd appreciate it. And what else would you like to mention that I have not thought to ask?
Let me think.
Well, we can just mention the Church Street Infrastructure Project.
Yeah, hitting the pause button for a week or so to get through Arts and Crafts Festival, and then right after that, we will be addressing probably the most painful part of that. I know you're glad to see some blacktop out here in front of your
studio. Yes, we are.
But coming up, you know, we've got the actual intersection of Fairhope Avenue and Church Street, and the idea is to do that as quickly as possible. You know, 6 weeks would be fantastic. I think that's the goal. I would hate to commit to something like that. You know, sometimes these projects have a way of getting delayed by the weather, and once
right.
you start digging, you dig and you fix one thing, and then you find something else.
That's right.
And that just seemed to be the case all the way from Magnolia down to Fairhope Avenue. So, yeah, that project went kind of slowly. Hopefully this intersection will go very quickly. But wait until after Arts and Crafts to start.
So Monday, actually, the city has announced Monday, a week from today, closure of the Fairhope Avenue and Church Street intersection for the remainder of the Church Street Infrastructure Project, which goes all the way to Fells. And there's a map, and they're talking about maybe a turnaround cul-de-sac if you get stuck.
Yes, exactly. Just something, anything they can to make it as, you know, as efficient as possible. It's going to be a little bit painful, and this is just one of these things that I hope the citizens can bear with us. That really needs to be done. Everyone mentioned this several years ago. The infrastructure needed to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
We're addressing it, and I just ask that everyone be patient while we address it. We'll do it as quickly as we can.
Absolutely. Folks are grumbling, understandably, about the roundabout being constructed. Is it Twin Beach and 13, the one that's
Twin
going
Beach
on
and
now?
Yep.
But that's not a city project.
Well, it's it's in the, I guess, in the city's planning area, and it does impact the city. But yeah, I know that's seems to be that there's going to be roundabouts all the way up and down 13. That's going to be kind of their address to each major intersection. It's going to be a roundabout, and I think I prefer that flow over a traffic light. Now that I've gotten used to them, I don't know how you feel about those, but kind of like it. The one I really want to see happen is, of course, at 104 Veterans Section Street. You know, that intersection desperately needs roundabout. The engineering is being done this year. The project is going to be constructed next year.
And interestingly enough, do you recall that was the first roundabout ever discussed
back
in the
that.
Debbie Quinn, Dan Stankowski days of Fairhope City Council?
I don't know why it's taken so much longer on this one, other than you've got a lot of different roads kind of conjoining at one time.
Uh-huh.
About who owns what, and it's certainly going to be a little bit more complex because it impacts so many people coming into the city. So
right. Excuse me, I misspoke. The one that I think folks are frustrated with is the one
32.
On 32 at 13, because
okay, yeah.
That's begun, and that's a county and state project. The city's only involvement is moving utilities.
Yes.
And so many folks are complaining to the city. We did have Baldwin County's engineer, Joey Nunnally, here on Community Contact a couple of weeks ago, and he explained in great detail why it can take so long to build one of these things.
And I think that the utility relocation is a big part of that. You know, when they're addressing a roundabout and say, hey, you've got to move your utilities to the other side of the street or at least away from this right of way, that's not an easy project when those
right.
are underground and
right.
set in place. That's a pretty extensive effort required to make that happen.
Well, Jimmy, thank you. I hope you're feeling better and getting back to normal.
I feel great. It's good to be back among the people.
Good. We appreciate you, as well as the other hat you wear with M&M Bank. In our community, Fairhope City Council President Jimmy Conyers. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
It is now 8:42 and 46.